Gospel of John, chapter 15. I love how the Lord will answer prayers and through Scripture. If you're just looking for Him to speak to you in a voice, it's not going to happen. But if you seek Him in prayer for the answers and the things that you desire, if you ask Him, He'll answer you. And several weeks ago, back in June and July, I was praying about a certain thing that I had going on in my life. It was with Rescue Squad. And a lot of you know that years ago, very, very actively involved in Watauga County Rescue Squad. And was praying. I wasn't doing much with it. I couldn't. I was so busy in the ministry. And God led me to this scripture, spoke to me in a different way that I'm going to preach tonight, but it had a part to do with it. I was asking, I was like, well, what do I do? You know I love EMS, you know, but I'm not doing anything with it. And I never did have peace about leaving it in the past, but the Lord showed me in this scripture here, and that's why I say it's important that whenever you're looking for answers, just turn to the Word of God. Go to Him in prayer, and then open up your Bible and start reading. And this scripture stood out to me and ended up resigning from the rescue squad. And because I did it the Lord's way, because I sought Him about it, everybody there, even the chief, said, "You got my blessing." He said, "It's bittersweet. We hate to see you go, but we know that the work that you're doing is very important as well." And He's never said that to me before. So I just thank the Lord for how He worked everything out in His timing. But if you got your Bibles, if you can't, Elder Cannon will stand for just a moment while I read these few verses in chapter 15, and then I'm going to pray, and then you can be seated. Chapter 15 in the Gospel of John, starting in verse number 1, it says, "I am the true vine." This is Jesus' words here as He's talking to His disciples. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Verse number 7 says, "If they abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Well, let's pray. Father, we love you. We just want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together. Lord, thank you for giving us the ability just to come to your house tonight. Lord, I thank you for a church that still got its doors open on a Wednesday night. Father, I thank you for everybody that took the time to come out tonight. Father, as we get through the scriptures tonight, Father, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth be guided by you, Lord, that you just get my flesh out of the way. Lord, and just have your own way with the service tonight, Lord. Just use me as a vessel that you called me to be. Lord, make this understandable to all the ears that hear it tonight. Father, we love you and want to thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Y'all can be seated. As I was going through praying what to bring to the church tonight, what to preach on tonight, I woke up one morning with this scripture on my heart, and I didn't think much about it because I still thought it may have had to do with the answer that I was seeking before. And then I woke up with it, and it was the first thing on my mind when I woke up this morning. So I figured, well, the Lord must have a plan for this in the church service tonight. And then I started studying, and I got to telling my wife later on, I told her where our scripture was going to be tonight. She said, "That's weird." She said, "I woke up this morning, and that was a scripture that came to my mind." So if it doesn't come out right, you just blame my wife because she's the one that she influenced it. Well, just now, I'm just kidding. It was definitely of the Lord as I was praying, "Lord, what do I preach tonight?" I'm always seeking the Lord and what He would have me to preach, as I know if I go by His will and not in the flesh and do it of my own doing, that it will turn out okay. whenever I was looking at this verse and it was talking about the vine and the husbandman, and talking about when you think about this, think about the grapevine. And when it was talking about the branches here being part of the vine, the first thing I saw, what popped out to me in here, is he goes on in verse 1 and he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and that it may bring forth more fruit. The first thing I saw here was verse 3. Kind of odd how he throws this in here. It says, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And as I got to looking at this and begging God, Lord, show me what you would have me to bring forth out of this scripture tonight, I was seeing Jesus is about to wrap it up right here. He's coming to the end of his life as a human on this earth. He was telling his disciples that this, you guys, whenever we're looking at grapevines and purging and things like that, when you think about in the summertime, and we do this with apple trees too, and many other types of, we do it with snowball bushes. My wife and I used to prune those a lot. And when he's talking about purging things, he's talking about the grapevine. And what you do with these things is you've got the main vine that comes up, the guarded main vine that gives all the fruit and the nutrients, the food, the water, to everything that grows out of that vine. And he relates his disciples and you and I as the branches, the things that come off of that vine. And he talks about us being in him. But first thing I saw was that he was talking about being cleansed, being clean. He was telling his disciples, he's like, look, you boys have been with me my whole walk here. He said, you've been with me for a long time. He said, you've pretty much done everything. I've trained you. I've taught you. He said, you've already been through this. You're already clean. If you look up purge in the dictionary, it gives a reference to being clean as far as humans go, but it also goes with being pruned. He's drawing parallels here between humans and this grapevine. He was telling his disciples here, he said, you're already clean by the words I've spoken to you. He said, you've been with me forever. You're doing all right. I've already trained you. I've already instructed you, and you're doing pretty good right now. But what happens with this grapevines is you prune off all these little suckers and all these things that come along the vine until you get to where you want fruit to grow. And you leave these couple little branches, but you cut off everything else because it takes away from where you want the fruit to grow. I don't know if many of you in here have snowball bushes, but you're supposed to prune your snowball bushes. Not the PG hydrangeas that grow blue, not them, but the big white ones that grow sometimes as tall as a house if you let them go. You're supposed to prune those every year. And what you do is you cut a lot of unnecessary stuff out of that plant and just leave off the main trunk two or three little shoots that you want the flowers to grow out on. And it usually, instead of a bunch of little flowers, you get huge flowers. Not quite as many little small flowers, but you get big, huge ones. Now, a lot of people that have apple orchards do the same thing. They prune their apple trees. If you just see a wild apple tree, it's got like a gazillion little tiny apples on it like this. But that's not really fruitful as we look at it. What you want is to prune that tree to get rid of a lot of the unwanted stuff and leave just a little few branches at the very end of the main trunk that will produce big apples. And that's what we like to have. Throughout this thing, what he's talking about is the vine. We know in the Bible they deal a lot with wine, grape juice in the Bible. And this is what he's relating this to. But he tells his disciples, he says, hey, you've already been pruned up. You've already been cleaned up. You're already doing pretty good. He says, this is the clean through the word that's being spoken of here. I saw a neat reference. I looked up branch just to see what the definition of it was. And it talked about, unlike other branches in the Bible where you think about branches and trees, these are soft and supple. They're able to be what I would think of as formed, all right? When he's talking, it's a very beautiful, a very neat illustration that he's using here, because he's saying we as people, like his disciples, that we're bendable, we're shapeable, we're usable. But he goes on and says, the second thing I saw after the cleansing, the cleaning, let me get back to that for just a minute. Thank you, Lord. The only way we can be clean now, we all probably know this, a lot of us, those that are saved, is through the blood of our Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can be clean. He's talking about cleaning up these, being cleansed. He says, you're clean now through the word that I have taught you. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We must first realize that we were sinners. It tells us in the beginning of the Bible. Then we must believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and shed that precious blood on Calvary, and believe that he died, was buried, and rose again on that third day. And that's going to save us. And that's how we can be cleansed today. The only way we can be clean in God's eyes is through the by being saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. We had an interesting thing that came into my mind now. Every time I think about the blood of Christ, I think it wasn't not too long ago, my niece, I guess it would be my great niece. Wow, I'm really getting old. My great niece was in Bible school, and they sang this song, "Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb?" Well, her being the child that she is, and she's not in a church in down off the mountain where they sing that song, she gets back into the car with her grandma, and she said, "Grandma, why would anybody want to be washed in blood?" She said, "That's the craziest thing. That's just nasty." And she did. She's taking it as a child that you can't get clean. You can't be washed by being in blood. It's just nasty. So you're not going to be clean. But so grandma explained to her what that meant, that by that blood that was Jesus shed at Calvary, our sins were washed away. We're clean by that blood of Jesus Christ. But today, that's the only way that we can be clean in God's eyes, is to be saved, to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But the next thing I saw, and the big thing that came out to me, that spoke to me out of this, out of these passages here, is that what he says in verse, Jesus says in verse number 4, he says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself." And I'm going to get to that fruit in just a minute here, but I want to talk about just for a moment this abiding. It said in the middle of that verse number 4, it cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. He's making the reference again back to the vine and the fruit that, well, grapes can't grow on a grapevine if they're unattached from it. He says they have to be attached to that vine to get the nutrients, to get the water, to get the for to grow. But just like that, Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you, as that branch cannot bear fruit of except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me." And we all want fruit in our lives, and like I said, I'm going to get to that in just a minute, but I want to talk about that abiding in Jesus. Whenever I think about that, to abide in Christ, what we're looking at here, what comes to my mind is having no known sin unjudged and unconfessed in our lives when we abide in him. I think back about to Psalms 139, something I pray in the morning, and a lot of people don't like to do this because they do get convicted over it. But in our prayers, my wife and I were having our time of prayer in the morning, our family altar in the morning, I pray, and I'm sure she says this to herself, Psalms 139 and verses 23 and 24, it says, "Search me, oh God, and know my heart. That's kind of scary when you think about it, because you're asking God, know my heart right now. Try me and know my thoughts. And then the psalmist goes on to say, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I promise you, if you pray that prayer, if there's any hidden thing in there, it hits me too, church. I mean, I pray that in the morning. If I pray with Miss Sharon, and all of a sudden he's like, there it is. And I'm like, whoa, I forgot about that one. Yes, Lord. And I'm trying to pray, and I'm asking the Lord to forgive me of that. If you ask him, he will let you know where you sin in your life and what needs to be confessed to him. He will let you know.
I think a lot of times people don't pray that because they don't want to know. But if you, he'll let you know, and then it's up to us. Do you want to abide in him, or do you want to be separated from him?
If you want to abide in him, we confess that sin unto him. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry about that. And then we don't go back to that sin. We separate ourselves from it. The other thing I saw was that we have no life which we cannot share with Jesus when we abide in him. That means the things that we do, our life, we try to have him a part of it. We don't want to separate ourselves from him in our life. We want him right there with us. Imagine if he was walking right there with you all the time through every day. To abide in him is to be able to do things in your life and not be ashamed or not be convicted if he was right there beside it. Young people, husbands, wives, we may be doing something, and then all of a sudden somebody come in a room, and all of a sudden we say, okay, I need to change this, close this, get rid of this right now. If you want to abide in him, you think about him being there all the time with you, almost like what you would a spouse, a husband, a wife, or a child. You make sure you think about him being right there with you with the things that we do in our walking everyday life, to abide in him. The other thing I was thinking about was that we look to him and we draw wisdom and strength from him, from Jesus Christ daily. I know a lot of times, especially us guys, we've got a thing where we like to do. I'm hard-headed. I mean, this is how I would tell you that. If I can, it may kill me to do it by myself, but I'm not going to ask her for help, okay? It's just a guy thing, okay? I'm going to do it myself if I can. That way, I don't know if it's a flesh thing and I'm proud of my own accomplishment or what. But we turn to him for the things that we need. We turn to Christ for that. We don't say, well, I can try to fix this in my flesh. I know how to fix this. I know how to work out. We ask him, Lord, I need help with this. Because we've got that guidance and that direction inside of us. It's called the Holy Spirit that'll help us through situations. I can't tell you how many times, and it's funny, Mrs. Connor and I were just talking about this the other day, how many times I will beat my head against the wall trying to figure something out for like hours. And all I got to do is say, Lord, can you just help me with this? And right there it is. I get the answer for it. But a lot of times we get in the flesh, and we live in this stuff, the flesh, and these bodies, and a lot of times we think that just by our knowledge and by our physical strength and our smarts and all of our schooling and everything, we can just figure everything out. But there's so many times to abide in him, in that vine that he's talking about in that chapter. It means to go to him. For the things that we need answers for, that we need help with constantly. Also, when I was thinking about that abiding, nothing is allowed which separates us from him.
There are things in our lives that, whenever I was reading this passage of Scripture, and I told you at the beginning that whenever I was praying and he answered me in prayer about this, there's things in our lives that don't bring forth fruit, that don't make us productive as Christians.
everything that I just mentioned here goes along with that. We don't allow anything in life that separates us from Him.
We do things and ask Him for help. We do things and act as if, well, as Christians, He should be right there with us in everything that we do. And I'll admit there's been times in my life where I've had to, I'll start to do something and I'll say, Lord, we get that little convicting feeling inside of us, you know, that we shouldn't be doing something or we should do something different. And then it's up to us, do we abide in Him or do we do it our way? And still today, I mean, I myself would be doing something and be like, you're right, Lord, I don't need to do that. Or, Lord, yes, I do need to do this because you want me to do it this way. Abide in Him. And it reminded me of that. Do we do stuff outside of the church that we wouldn't dare do in the church? Think of it like that. And when we go outside these walls, when we go to our homes, when we get in our cars, then it reminds me of, a lot of times, we can even listen to music now, pop in the earbuds, and nobody knows what we're listening to but us and God. Is He convicting us over that? The things that we do behind closed doors. The things that we watch on TV. Well, it doesn't get to Him. Well, it's going to have some influence on our brains, what we watch. I've had to change a lot of the stuff I watch after I became a Christian because I didn't want that mess in my head. The things that we listen to behind closed doors, the things that we maybe turn to on the internet. I mean, there's so much stuff. What if you got bookmarked on your cell phone? You know? Where do we go? To abide in Him . Listen to that sweet Holy Spirit that's inside of us. Asking Him. Ask Him in prayer. Lord, search my heart. Is there anything that's separating you from me right now? Because I want your blessing upon my life. No doubt if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to be saved, you're going to be going to heaven. But I want God's blessings in my life. I really do. And the deeper I get into the ministry and as I walk and I do things, it's like, Lord, just today I'm begging Him, Lord, help me with this scripture. You laid it on my heart. I need help with this. But with everything that we do, and you'll be amazed at what He does when we abide in Him. And there's a difference in just being saved and abiding in Him, to be with Him, to walk with Him, to ask Him for help. Whenever we do things, whether it be in our rooms, in our houses, in our cars, you know, that He's right there with us. No, Lord, I don't want to do that because that's not right in your eyes. Abiding in Him. Paul, the great, great man of God, he once said, I put off the flesh daily, I die daily. He wasn't talking about doing having physical death. He was just talking about dying in the flesh that I can win Christ. Is what he talked a lot about, having the mind of Christ, winning Christ. What he meant by that was just winning the approval of, getting the approval of the one that will stand before Him. But on this earth, we like to think, you know, as we look up, as we do pray, that we're not being convicted over things, that we're just, Lord, it's been a good day to have that fellowship with Him, that we could win Him, that we could abide in Him. Now we are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. It says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse number 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned.
If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be given to you, unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Whenever I was looking at this, the last thing I saw in this church is that a lot of us have grown gardens all summer long. We've nurtured them. We pulled the weeds. We sprayed the bugs and things like that. Why? So our garden would have more fruit, right? So right now we're harvesting. My tomatoes are just now turning ripe. You're like, preacher, you got to be kidding me. We've been picking tomatoes. I know. My dear mother-in-law is where we've got our garden, and she's been picking tomatoes and canning tomatoes for a month. But over at our house, where it's in Watauga County, but it seems like winter sets in for so long, and we set our plants out so late so they wouldn't get frosted, we're just now starting to get tomatoes, so we might get a harvest before it freezes on them. But we plant a garden to get more fruit out of it. I had a young lady tell me the other day that a tomato is not a vegetable. It's a fruit. And I got this big thing in class. I was like, no way, no way. So I got college interns. Classroom, you know, and I'm thinking, what is it? And I said, everything that grows on a plant that has seeds in it is a fruit. It's produced by the plant. But they said things like lettuce are vegetables because what you eat is actually the plant itself, and it's a vegetable. No seeds. You're eating the whole plant, and that makes it a vegetable. And I said, man, all my life I've been deceived. But I got to bring out the Bible in the classroom because I said, that's why it talks so much about fruit in the Bible. Because produced from a plant, from something, is a fruit. Jesus tells us here, I want you to look at something. If you go through this scripture, there's three things. In verse number 2, he just says beareth not fruit. Every branch that's in me beareth not fruit. It's taken away. So he starts off talking about just plain old fruit. And then in verse number 2 again later on, he starts talking about more fruit. And then in verse number 5, it goes into, and again in verse 8, much fruit. That's what Christ wants us to do as Christians. He wants us to be fruit bearers. And that's what he was talking about with this scripture. There's times when the purge is part of it. There's times whenever we may go through trials. It's to help us bear more fruit. He might take things out of our lives. He might show us things that need to be taken out of our lives so that we can produce more fruit. Just as you and I, we grow gardens. I know even if you don't have a garden, almost everybody's got patio tomatoes or something. They've even got tomatoes now in hanging basket form or socks that grow down with gravity. And we do these things to get fruit. And that's what Jesus wants from us. He just wants us to be fruitful in our lives as Christians. And Jesus said, if you abide in me, it goes from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. You're like, preacher, what is this fruit? Well, you can look at it, one, the big picture. Paul, in one of his books and his letters that he wrote, said, I need to leave you now so I can go get fruit of my own. What he's saying is, I want us to have a part of souls being saved. If you abide in Christ, that's some of the fruit that you'll have. I'm unworthy as anything that God.
saved four people, saved four young people in Youth Challenge today. Just for me to be a part of that, to see that, and just to hear a young man pray a prayer of repentance, asking Jesus into their heart, I'm not worthy of that, but man, there's some fruit right there. I'm amazed at what the Lord's just allowed me to see as in fruit in this ministry. Just to hear of souls saved, the fruit that others have. You abide in Christ that you can have this fruit too. He said, I want you to be fruitful.
What he showed me in this scripture whenever I did the thing that I did with resignation,
he showed me, if it's not bringing fruit, get rid of it. It was as simple as that, like a board upside the head. He's like, if it's not, and I know we've all got little hobbies and things like that, but this was a time-consuming thing for me. 12 days out of the wintertime, 12 Saturdays when I should be studying for preaching the next day or doing something with the youth, I had to spend at the football stadium. And he said, if it's not bringing fruit unto righteousness for the Lord, he showed me that scripture, get rid of it. But I was praying specifically about that one thing. Okay, that's why I'm saying it's all between you and the Lord what
needs to be purged,
okay?
And I didn't want the Lord to purge it. He showed me, he's like, why don't you just get rid of it?
It's not producing you any fruit. Because I was praying the Lord I could reach young people through it. And the junior rescue people, young students that are coming in and everything, I could be a part of that, and nothing was happening. But when I prayed, the Lord showed me that. He's like, if it's not bringing forth fruit, and it wasn't, he said, just get rid of it.
It was time consuming. It was hard for me to abide in the Lord when I was there.
Okay, and I'll leave it at that. It was.
I got rid of it. But the Lord wants us to have fruit.
Not only fruit for salvation, for souls to be saved, but here's what else happens with that. When we abide in the Lord, in that vine.
What he's talking about also with fruit is it helps us with our attitude.
That's fruit. Okay?
It helps us whenever we're out in public. We're still soul winners, but church, I'm telling you, there's people that have their eyes on us. All the time.
One of the things that always gets me, if I ever slip up and say something, I'm not real bad, but maybe say something off color or something that I shouldn't around, they'll be standing right there, you know what I mean? You say something, you turn around, you're like, man, why did I say that right there?
You know, just something little, but not really bad, but you get caught in it. It helps us with our attitude.
When people are watching us, they do actually say that. You've heard it time and time again. What's different about them? Why are they? They're helping. They're picking up gum wrappers. They're
helping that person carry the boxes up to the counter. They help that lady reach something off the shelf. They're smiling at somebody, and when somebody's complaining, they're sitting there listening to them.
It helps us with our attitude. That's fruitful. It is.
To abide in the Lord. Just think about him whenever he does things that you're like, why is this happening right now?
Just listen to the Lord, what he had you to do.
It helps us with our attitude. It also will help us with our speech. Okay?
With the things that we say. Whenever I think about the Lord, and I brought this out Sunday. There's some phrases that I always used to use that I said without thinking about it, and I'm not cussing or anything like that, but just little phrases that I always used to use that the words that were in it were substituted for the word of our Lord, or for the name of our Lord, and I said, I can't say that anymore. But I told my wife, I said these things without thinking about it. Y'all get that? I said them without thinking about it. They were just like a filler in a sentence when something happens and you're like, oh my. But you put another word on the end of it.
And in reference to our Lord, I started saying,
how dare I? And the Lord got me. He said, did you hear what you just said? You said things you're not thinking about. We should never do that. And it helped me not just to be saying things as fillers, but to constantly be aware of how I speak to people. And y'all, this was just in the last month. Okay? But it helps us. That's being fruitful. It'll help us with our fruit. It'll also help us to love more when we abide in the Lord.
Colossians 1:10 and 9. Paul said, for this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every work and increasing in the knowledge of God. It goes on to say, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. If you look in the Bible, the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering. I mean, there's a whole list of stuff that it is. It's not just, soul winning is the most important thing. But before we can be effective soul winners, we need to walk that walk of a Christian. And if you can abide in him, you can go from having fruit to more fruit to much fruit in your life. Being fruitful in everything. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. Lord, we just want to ask that you would just, Lord, help us all.